So let me first thank the organizers for this opportunity to speak to you today. What I want to do is discuss sort of various ways in which we might want to try to describe a secant variety. And most of the new stuff that I'll say today is joint with David Cox. So before I leap into trying to describe a secant variety, I briefly want to consider the question, well, how do we describe just an arbitrary variety X that's sitting in projective space? So I think that one of the most basic properties of any variety is its dimension. And the degree of a variety gives us some information about how that variety is sitting in projective space. But of course, if we want more explicit information about exactly how that variety is sitting in projective space, what we might want to do is specify a line bundle, L, on X, and the vector space of global sections of that line bundle that gives the embedding. Of course, this is a geometric description, a geometric way of describing X. If we want to describe X algebraically, then the information that we might want to give is a description of the ideal of all homogeneous polynomials that vanish on X. So these are sort of four pieces of information that can help us describe a variety sitting in projective space. And essentially what I want to do today is talk about the question, well, can we use a good, and I'll put that in quotes, description of a variety X to describe its secant varieties? And whereby good description, for this talk what I'll mean is some of this information. Can we use some of this information to describe the secant varieties of X? So before I go on, let me remind you of the definition of a secant variety. So we have our X, our variety sitting inside projective space, and I'll define the case secant variety of X as follows. So I'll denote it by X to the upper K like this. And what I'll do is I'll take first the set of all K minus 1 planes, H, that intersect X in at least K points. So we can think of these are the K minus 1 planes that are spanned by K points of X. I want to take the union of all of these k minus 1 planes together, and then the closure of that union. For the majority of this talk, I'll be interested in the case where k is equal to 2, and I'll call that, sorry, I'm going to erase this now, the secant variety of X. And when X is smooth, the secant variety of X is just the union of all of the secant lines of X together with the tangent lines. So what your calculus students might expect. And I think this is a nice geometric definition in its own right that's sort of intrinsically interesting. But there are actually lots of reasons to be interested in secant varieties. And so let me tell you a little bit about that. So secant varieties play a role in many different areas, if you're an algebraic geometer, you might be interested in taking a variety sitting in projective space and projecting it isomorphically to a lower dimensional projective space. So you might be interested in projections. And if you're projecting away from a point, in order for that to be an isomorphism, that point can't lie on any secant lines of the variety. So you want the point to lie off the secant variety, and in particular you want the dimension of the secant variety to be strictly less than the dimension of the ambient space, so it doesn't fill up all of projective space. Certain secant varieties of Segre varieties have interesting connections to computational complexity, and that's mentioned, for instance, in some of Landsberg and Manivelle's papers. I think we have an audience expert, Tony Arabino, on the Waring connections of secant varieties of Veronese varieties to the Waring problem for homogeneous forms, and I think Tony Jeremita also has a nice survey paper on that. Let me see. And then I think that in the next talk, we may hear a little bit more about interesting connections between secant varieties and algebraic statistics. So there are lots of reasons to be interested in secant varieties. There's been a lot of work in recent year on secant varieties by people including, but I'm probably leaving people out, so Kanev, Jeremita, Gimignano, and Jeremita, Catalisano, Jeremita, and Gimignano, those three. You see Landsberg and Manivelle, Masahiro Ono, Hirotachi Abo has a recent paper. Let me see. I feel like there's someone else. Ed Catalano Johnson. So there are lots of people I should be mentioning here. And Chiliberto and Russell as well. Some interesting work that they've done. Okay, so what I want to do though is tell you a little bit about describing the dimension and degree of secant varieties, in particular of smooth toric varieties. And so you may ask, why secant varieties of toric varieties? And so I'll give you three reasons for secant varieties of toric varieties. Number one is that David and I got interested in studying secant varieties through work of Bernstorff, Fels, and Seth Sullivan, who were interested in algebraic statistics and the questions they were asking. And they were, I think, particularly interested in secant varieties of toric varieties. So there's motivation from applications. When we started looking at the literature, the secant varieties for which a lot was known, actually a lot of them were secant varieties of toric varieties. So the Segre varieties, PM cross PN, the Veronese varieties embedded by homogeneous forms of degree 2, and the rational normal scrolls and rational normal curves. So those are all toric varieties. And actually those varieties play an important sort of base cases in the work that David and I did. And the third reason, I think, to be interested in secant varieties, in particular of toric varieties, is that you should, in some sense, expect something to be able to say something extra nice for toric varieties. And there's a formula for the degree of a secant variety, essentially a formula for the degree, I'll say more about that later, that's given in terms of intersection theory. And intersection theory on a toric variety is something that can be made very concrete in terms of a polytope. So we'll see that later on. Well, let me, what I want to do now is talk about some examples of toric varieties. And there are lots of great references in the literature for learning about toric varieties and their full generality. You can look at the books of Oda or Fulton, Gelfand, Kapanov, Zelovinsky. There's an article of Danilov. There's a lot of stuff to look at. So I'm not going to treat things very generally at all. Hopefully through these specific examples, you can sort of get a sense of the flavor of how one actually thinks about or how we thought about toric varieties in practice. So my first example is perhaps, what am I going to do? I want to describe the toric variety in my very favorite way. And my favorite way of describing a toric variety is via a line bundle and a space of global sections. And for toric varieties, that means specifying a polytope and a set of lattice points. And the polytope I want to take at first is very, very simple. It is just a line segment that I have embedded inside the real line. I'll call that line segment P. I'll slide it over so that its leftmost point is at the origin. And I'll say that it has length R, so it contains R plus one lattice points. And I claim this polytope is exactly saying a line bundle and a space of global sections. So let's see how. First, let's see how it gives us an embedding from the one-dimensional torus, which is just C star, into a projective space that has dimension one less than the number of lattice points. So lattice points are just points in Rn with integer coordinates. So I'm going into Pr, and I'll call this phi sub p. So I need to figure out what phi sub p should do to my one parameter on my one-dimensional torus. And it's going to map it into projective space via monomials whose exponents are the lattice points. So the first monomial is t to the 0, then t raised to the first power t squared through t to the r. And you might look at that and say, hey, that looks familiar to me. It looks an awful lot like an affine open piece of the rational normal curve of degree r embedded in pr, and it is. So that's exactly what you get when you take the closure of the image of that map. And that's what I'll call the toric variety x sub p. And this is really a general procedure. You give me a lattice polytope, so all of its vertices are lattice points, and I'm going to take, in this talk, all of the lattice points contained in that polytope. There'll be exponent vectors of monomials. I'll take the maps the torus into some projective space, and x sub p is the closure of the image of that map. And in this case, we get the rational normal curve, which we all know and love. And what I want to do right now, though, is stop for a minute and describe for you, because it's so pretty, the ideal of this curve and all its secant varieties. And this is well known. You can find it treated, for instance, in Joe Harris's book on algebraic geometry. I think there's also a nice treatment in David Eisenbud's new book, Geometry of Syzygies. So to do this, I want to define a matrix that I'll call MRL. And here, L is between 1 and R minus 1. So this matrix, the first row is x0, x1, through xl. Then I'll put x1, x2, through xl plus 1, so on and so forth till I get to, I believe, r minus l through xr should be. Okay. So what does this matrix have to do with this variety? Well, the ideal of the k-th secant variety of the rational normal curve is generated by the k plus 1 by k plus 1 minors of any of the matrices MRL for which there are size k plus 1 minors. And if you can't find an L that there are k plus 1 minors, then the secant variety fills projective space, basically. Okay? So let's look at an example of a higher dimensional toric variety and its embedding into projective space. This is my favorite, all-time favorite family of varieties, and these are the rational normal scrolls. So, this chalk keeps snapping on me. First, I'm going to give the description that you'd find maybe in Joe Harris's book on algebraic geometry. So to describe a rational normal scroll of dimension n, I need to specify n integers di, and I want them all to be greater than or equal to 1 so I don't get any cones. And then what I do is I take a projective space that's just big enough to hold disjoint linear subspaces of dimensions d1 through dn. I take one copy of p1, and I embed it into each of those I disjoint linear subspaces as a rational normal curve of degree di. Then I join the corresponding points on those embeddings via n minus 1 planes, and I take the union of all those things. Let me say that torically. So for example, in the plane, so the polytope in the plane that I associate to a rational normal scroll with d1 equal to 1 and d2 equal to 3 is as follows. I need a rational normal curve of degree 3. And disjoint from that, a rational normal curve of degree 1. And then I join corresponding points. And that's supposed to meet up there. And I get that polytope. Okay. And if we want to, we can think about what embedding that gives us of the two torus into P5. So I'll have two torus parameters now, T1 and T2. And I'm going to think of this corner being the origin. So I'll get T1 to the 0, T2 to the 0. And then T1, T1 squared, T1 cubed. This is just T2, and my last one is T1, T2. Like that. Okay? And then X sub P13 is the closure of the image of that map. There are lots of other rational normal scrolls. Here's another nice one, P22. So I take a rational normal curve of degree 2, another one of degree 2 disjoint from that, and I join corresponding points. And then in higher dimensions, for instance, if I want to look at P113, let's see, here are my three axes. I take a rational normal curve of degree 1, another rational normal curve of degree 1, and then disjoint from those two a rational normal curve of degree 3, and I get something that looks like a prism that has a skew, one skew end. Okay? That's the polytope that corresponds to P113. So that's how to describe rational normal scrolls as polytopes, as torus varieties giving polytopes. But here also, the ideals of the secant varieties have a really beautiful description. So I want to say a little bit about that. And this is due to, at least I learned it from papers of Catalano-Johnson. So what he showed is that you want the ideal of the kth secant variety of the rational normal scroll defined with D1 through Dn, then what you do is you take the k plus 1 by k plus 1 minors of the following matrix. The first block will be M sub D1. In my notation, I think K. So just big enough so that you can have K plus 1 by K plus 1 minors. Okay? And then so on and so forth. M, D, N, K. So the K plus 1 minors of that. And if one of the DIs is so small that you can't define this matrix, just leave it out. Okay? So that is a way of describing the ideal of all of the secant varieties of the rational normal scrolls. And Catalano-Johnson also did a lot of really nice work studying the dimensions of secant varieties. And I want to tell you a little bit about that because it plays an important role in what I want to do next. And to do that, I have to give a couple more definitions. So the first definition, is of the expected dimension of a variety, secant variety. So we have X sitting inside projective space of dimension N. And then we'll say that the expected dimension of its kth secant variety is essentially given by a parameter count, okay, in the following way. Well, we want to take the span of k points of x. So if they each live in x, they're varying in an n-dimensional family. And then I take linear combinations of them, so I get k more parameters. But then I'm thinking of in projective space, so I have to subtract one. But, of course, this parameter count can't possibly be giving the right dimension if the ambient space is smaller than that. So I have to take the minimum. Right. So that's the expected dimension of the case secant variety. And, moreover, if the dimension of the case secant variety is what we get from that sort of naive parameter count, then we can define an integer that I'll call delta k. So this is, I think, what Catalano Johnson called it. And it is the number of k secant k minus 1 planes that pass through a general point of this k secant variety. So there's some open subset of the secant variety such that this is a constant. And what we want is for this delta k to be equal to 1. And if that happens, if it's not 1, we'll say that it's numerically degenerate. Okay. So what Catalano Johnson showed, again, this is due to him, is that the case secant variety of a rational normal scroll is never, or always has the expected dimension, so always has the expected dimension, and if this is what you get from the parameter count, then delta k is equal to 1, even if the secant variety is filling all of projective space. And that's kind of a surprising thing, that it fills projective space and that delta k is equal to 1. So that's pretty cool. I think for higher k you might be right. So I think for k is equal to 2 you don't need any conditions, and for higher you do. Let's do this for 2. I think there might be some conditions, but I know it's correct for 2. Okay. Which is what I'm going to specialize to now. Thank you, Seth. All right. So now I'm getting ready to talk about the general case of secant varieties, of more general toric varieties than the ones we've seen before here. And our work is based in part upon the following observation. If I have a variety X that's sitting in projective space, and I have a linear projection of X to a variety X prime that's sitting in a smaller projective space, and this projection happens to be birational here, well, then it's going to induce a projection of the secant varieties that's dominating like that with the following property, that the dimension of then the guy upstairs certainly has to be bigger than or equal to the dimension, that should be x prime there, of the secant variety it's projecting to. Moreover, if the guy on the bottom has the property that delta 2 equals 1, then so does the other one. So does X2. Okay. So this is the observation. So that what we kind of want to do is find a bunch of small toric varieties to project to, small in some way, and use the good properties of this delta 2 equals 1 and having expected dimension to show that other sort of larger toric varieties also have that property. And if you think about it, projections, the ones we like to think about, are just given in some sense by erasing certain coordinates from projective space, which would be erasing certain monomials, just dropping them out, leaving them out, which kind of corresponds to taking sub-polytopes. So if we can find a bunch of very small polytopes that correspond to toric varieties with good properties and can project to them, we'll get the good properties for the other toric varieties. And as you notice here, these are some very small polytopes. And these two actually are big enough, though, that they have these good properties guaranteed by Catalano Johnson's work. So that's how we get the ball rolling. But there are some well-known toric varieties for which this process is kind of going to fail miserably, and let me tell you a little bit about those. So, this truck. And these are the Veronese varieties, embedded by homogeneous forms of degree 2. So, to define them as toric varieties, let me give some notation. Delta N is going to be the set of all points in the non-negative orphant of Rn, whose coordinates sum to less than or equal to 1. And I can scale this polytope by any integer, getting a bigger polytope. And if I scale it by 2, the polytope 2 delta n corresponds to the Veronese embedding by homogeneous forms of degree 2. So, for instance, in the plane, we would have this as 2 delta 2. So this sits inside R2 like that. Okay? And it's known that the dimension of the second secant varieties of all of these guys is 2n, which is not 2n plus 1, which is what we expect. And also, again here, the defining ideals of these guys are known. And I think you can find this in the book of, for instance, Kanev and Yarabino, as well as other places. So I'm going to call the matrices that I'm going to use here MN. And this is going to be the, actually, n plus 1 by n plus 1 generic symmetric matrix that looks like x0, x1, xn going across, x1 through xn going down like that. So fill it out in a symmetric way with variables. And the ideal of the k secant variety of these guys is defined by the k plus 1 by k plus 1 minors of Mn. Okay? So we have this pretty picture again, where we have somehow determinantal ideals, and the higher minors define the ideals of secant varieties. But certainly, this doesn't have the expected dimension. So this doesn't have the good Catalano-Johnson properties. So any sub-polytope of this has to correspond to a toric variety that also must fail to have those good Catalano-Johnson properties, the dimension 2n plus 1. The dimension of the secant variety has to be less than or equal to 2n for all of those guys. All right, so now I'm ready to state our first theorem. So this is a theorem about the dimension of a secant variety. If I have a polytope P sitting inside of Rn such that the dimension of XP is equal to n and XP is smooth, then I'll get that the dimension of the secant variety is equal to 2n plus 1, and delta 2 is equal to 1, if and only if that polytope P is not equivalent to a polytope that sits inside of 2 delta n. And so here by equivalent I mean after some general linear transformation and a translation, it can't be made to fit inside that. Okay? All right. Well, let me give you at least a sketch of this proof, a proof of this theorem, in the surface case, and I think you can get the flavor of what goes on from that. Okay? So we have our polytope, a polygon, in this case in the plane, and let's consider some cases. Okay? If P has an edge of length, so first case, greater than or equal to 3, let's take that edge and slide it over so that one of its vertices is at the origin. And if this corresponds to a smooth toric variety, I can make sure that the other edge that starts there goes straight up perpendicular to it. Okay. So what's going to happen here? Well, what'll happen at this point? Either I keep going out here, I go up, or I go in. And what happens is you can see that no matter what happens there, P is going to have to contain that. There's just nothing you can do by convexity and smoothness. P's got to contain this. So if P has an edge of length greater or equal to 3, P contains that guy. But that is P13, the polytope corresponding to one of the good rational normal scrolls. So we're set there. What happens if P just has an edge of length greater than or equal to 2? That's all we can guarantee. Well, we'll do the same kind of thing. We'll slide that one over to the origin. And we'll put this up there like that. And we consider what happens at this vertex. Well, we could go out this way. If we go out this way, we're going to contain P13. So either P contains a P13 if we go out, or we could go up, straight up. And if we go straight up, then P has to contain P22, which was another good scroll. Or we could go in. And if you go in, it's easy to see by convexity that you have to be contained inside 2 delta 2. So, or P is contained inside of 2 delta 2, and there's no hope for us. Okay? The last case to consider is if all edges have length, and this is the lattice length 1, well, put one vertex at the origin like this. So you have something that looks like this. And you can think about what happens, say, here. If we go out too far, we'll actually have to contain P13. So either P contains P13, or it could go up just here, then it won't contain P13. If it goes up like this, or over here, we're going to be contained inside 2 delta n. So this is kind of a case we don't know how to deal with yet. Now we think about this vertex. The same kind of argument works there. If it goes out too far, we'll contain a P13. So it should go in like this. And then there's only one way to finish this. It's to go like that. So I'll call this P hex. So either P contains P13, or it contains P hex, or it's contained inside 2 delta 2. Or P is contained inside 2 delta 2. So either we contain one of the polytopes corresponding to a rational normal scroll, which is good, or we're contained inside 2 delta 2, which is bad but sort of understood, And then there's this guy left. And this guy, actually, we had to treat as a special case. You can show, and there are lots of, actually a bunch of ways of doing it, that this one has delta 2 equal to 1, and the secant variety is Drenton 5, so 2n plus 1 there. So that is the proof of this theorem in the case of surfaces. The proof in general is the same idea, it's just a little more intricate, more cases, you have to be a little more careful. All right. So, I think what I want to do next is tell you about, sort of to finish off the dimensions story, the guys that actually live inside 2 delta 2. So, let me see. This wasn't in the first version of our paper, but one of the referees said, can't you tell us about all of the polytopes that live inside 2 delta 2 and give us a smooth toric variety? There aren't that many lattice points. And we actually said, okay, you're right. We can. There aren't that many lattice points. So the polytope is just not that big. And what's going on? Let me say that the smooth, and here, but when I say a smooth polytope, I mean a polytope that corresponds to a smooth toric variety. I think these are also called Delzant in the literature. The smooth subpolytopes of 2 delta n are, well, there's delta n, which corresponds to projective space. That's the little tiny simplex. Then there are things that look like delta L cross delta n minus L, where here L is between 1 and n minus 1. These are the products of projective spaces Pn, Pn minus L. So these are the Segre varieties. And we know a lot about the secant varieties here. Then there are also what we denoted by these guys. I'll use an L here. Where here, I want L to be between 0 and n minus 2. And what this means is remove a k-dimensional face from 2 delta t. So I don't want to remove a facet, because if I remove a facet, then I'm all the way back here at delta n. And these guys actually have a pretty interpretation. So 2 delta n, if we go over here, we remember the secant variety corresponding to the Veronese is defined by the k plus 1 minors of the generic symmetric matrix, or Hankel, the generic symmetric matrix, sorry. And Aldo Conca has a really nice paper about the determinantal ideals of partially symmetric matrices, where you sort of just cut off the last few rows of the generic symmetric matrix. So when we remove certain faces of the polytope, algebraically we're just removing rows of that matrix. So it turns out that the ideals of the secant varieties of these guys, corresponding to these polytopes, come from the determinantal ideals, the k plus 1 minors, of the generic symmetric matrices. These are also defined by k plus 1 minors of, in this case, the generic L by n minus L matrices. So here, actually, everything is understood, everything is determinantal, and you can, by previous results in the literature, sort of tease out dimension and degree. But actually, what got David and me thinking about secant varieties were questions about the degrees of secant varieties. So that's what I want to talk about next. And we got jump-started by the following theorem, which, for instance, is in the book of Flenner, O'Carroll, and Vogel. And I think we can attribute it to maybe Peters and Simonis and Ed Landsvik. Maybe with a, is that right? So it's almost, it's essentially a formula for the degree of a secant variety, give or take. So on the left-hand side, we certainly have the degree of the secant variety, the thing we're interested in. on the right-hand side, we have this slightly messy-looking thing, the degree of our original variety squared, minus, and this is where we're a tiny bit messy, 2n plus 1 choose k, times the degree of, I take the total turn class of the tangent bundle of x, inverse, the k-dimensional piece, I take the degree of that thing. Okay, this is essentially the degree of the secant variety multiplied by the degree of some map phi. And here I'm not going to go into what phi is, but I will say it's the degree of a map, and it's actually the projection from the abstract join, or the ruled join. This is going to be equal to 2 times delta 2 if the dimension of the secant variety is what we'd want from the parameter count, and it's going to be 0 otherwise. So if you can compute this thing and you get a positive number, then actually that gives you a dimension result right there. If you compute this thing and you get 0, you know the dimension has to be less than 2 to the 1. And if you can compute this thing, you get a positive number and you know delta 2, then you just divide and you get the degree of the secant variety. So this is what we were working with. And this thing is kind of a beast in general, but for toric varieties, the total turn class of the tangent bundle has a really nice description. You can find this, for instance, in Fulton's book, as in terms of the sort of subvarieties that come from faces of the polytope, the orbit closures. Anyway, so this can be made very concrete in terms of toric varieties, and the intersection theory that you need to do can all be understood in terms of the polytope that gives the embedding. So really here, that geometric description via a line bundle and a space of global sections gives you a concrete way to compute this information, the degree of the secant variety of a toric variety. And let me show you, in dimensions 2 and 3 at least, what kind of formulas we get. So, here's another theorem. Okay, so we have our polytope sitting inside of Rn. The dimension of the corresponding toric variety is equal to n, and we know that xp is smooth, and we also know that the dimension of the secant variety is what we want from the dimension count, all of that will imply that the degree of the secant variety corresponding to the toric variety corresponding to the polytope is, if n is equal to 2, what we'll get is 1/2 times d squared minus 10d plus 5e plus 2v minus 12. Somehow that 2v looks like it might be, I'm worried about that 2v right now. It's in the paper. The correct formula is definitely in the paper. And here we'll get d squared minus 21d minus c1 cubed 8v 14e 84i minus 132. This is if n equals 3. And so what are these D, E, V, and I? Here, D is the degree of our original variety, which is the normalized volume of the polytope. E should be the number of lattice points on the edges of P. V is the number of vertices of P. And I is the number of interior lattice points. And this is just the first turn class of the tangent bundle, which is sort of, it's actually intrinsic to the fan, if you know toric varieties. And we couldn't solve for it. I mean, this, we got this sort of using Riemann-Roch and Hadron. You sort of chug things out, and in dimensions 2, you get a nice formula. In dimension 3, there's already something you can't quite solve for in terms of the polytope. I mean, for any specific toric variety, if you knew enough about the polytope, you could churn this out. It's just that I think the formulas in higher dimensions are going to be, like, icky enough that writing them down won't necessarily be nice and help you and make you think that's good. So we're not going to do it. What I want to end with is a discussion of homogeneous ideals of secant varieties. So what you may have noticed is in every example that I showed you today, except actually for this hexagon. So let me say something about this hexagon. There are various ways. One thing you can do is actually you can use this formula, plugging in this stuff over here, and compute the right-hand side of this formula. And I think what you get is 6. And actually, once you know this is 6, if this is even, it's not too hard to show that actually this is 2 and this is 3. And then if this is 2, then delta 2 is 1. So we have those good properties again. So that's how we take care of that case. But in all the other cases that I've shown you today, the ideal of the original variety is determinantal. And so are the ideals of all of its secant varieties. We have our toric variety is defined by the 2x2 minors of a matrix, and the secant varieties are the k plus 1 by k plus 1 minors of that same matrix. And you might ask, well, so what can we say in general about defining equations of a secant variety if we know the defining equations of the original variety? So that's my last question. What can we say about the ideal of the kth secant variety given, say, generators for the ideal of X? Well, I can say a little bit if X is a variety, so I'm going to assume X is irreducible, and if it's defining ideal, I want to be generated by its dth graded piece. So its defining ideal is generated in a single degree. So there's this notion of a prolongation that arose in differential geometry with these exterior differential systems, and I think Griffiths and Harris credit maybe Cartan for it originally. But Landsberg and Menavel were the people who noticed possible connections to defining equations of secant varieties. And there are lots of ways of defining prolongations. I'm going to do it, I don't know, I think in the way that's easiest to digest, hopefully. So I'm going to take a vector space of, let me let S be my polynomial ring in n plus 1 variables. And so this is the dth graded piece of S. I have a vector space of homogeneous forms of degree d sitting inside of S. And I'm going to think of them as generators of an ideal I. So I equals the ideal generated by A. And then the kth prolongation of A is, one way of saying it is the following. It's the set of all homogeneous forms. I'm prolonging by k, so they're going to live in the d plus k graded piece of my polynomial ring. And what I want is that any k partial derivative that I decide to take, so here beta is going to be a non-negative, an n plus 1 tuple of non-negative integers such that their sum is equal to k. So it tells me how to take k partial derivatives of f. And I want that guy to be in A. Okay? For every beta. For every beta that's like this. Okay? That's essentially the k-th prolongation. And where do I have space? Sorry about this. The theorem, so this is work in progress, very much so in progress. If you have an interesting example that you want me to try to prolong, let me know. I'm looking for interesting examples. So the theorem, and parts of this theorem, I'll state, so a special case of the theorem was originally proved by Landsberg and Manivelle, and a lot of the ideas, I think, are sort of floating around in papers of Landsberg and Manivelle, maybe also in some paper, the paper of Kanev on chordal varieties and secant varieties. So, and that is, first of all, if we prolong, so we're in this setting, where we have variety in projective space, generated, and its ideal is generated by its d graded piece, so I want to, I guess, prolong the d graded piece of that, the ideal of x, by d minus 1 times k minus 1. What I should get here is a piece of the ideal of the k secant variety, but it's the degree k d minus 1 plus 1 graded piece. But there is no guarantee that this thing is non-zero. So I could just prolong and I get zero, and there's nothing living in the degree of that, in the ideal of that secant variety in that degree. Or there's no guarantee that there aren't higher degree generators, lower degree generators of the ideal. But this is that graded piece of it. That's all you can say. And then the other thing is that, and this may be sort of obvious to experts in some sense, but if you look at the, again, I'm going to prolong the d-graded piece of the ideal of a variety by k, then this should be the d plus k graded piece of the k plus first symbolic power of that ideal. So that's the ideal of x there. So where x is, again, I of x is generated in degree d. So these prolongations are kind of cool. And my work, what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to work out different ways of actually computing them. And I should say now, because I know there were connections to Macaulay 2 in the workshop last week, that the way this whole thing got started, Macaulay 2 was with us from the very beginning. So David actually, from 30 minutes after the very beginning, David, when we got started talking about this, he sent me an email and had like one line in it that said, "Jessica, I have just computed the ideal of the secant variety of this rational normal scroll using Macaulay 2. And this is before we knew about Catalano Johnson's work. And I went, oh. The idea to me that you could compute, I think he used Maple, the idea that you could compute the ideal of a secant, sorry, this is my 30 minutes afterwards views Macaulay 2. The idea that you could compute the ideal of something so geometric on a computer to me was like this was like really cool. This was, I mean, I don't know, that this geometric definition, somehow there was going to be a way to do this. And there are actually lots of ways to compute the ideal of a secant variety, although a lot of them are pretty slow because they use elimination. And so I went, and then 30 minutes later, I wrote back to David, I just got the same answer on Macaulay too. Yes, and we were off and running. And so it was really cool to be able to work with all of these examples. And so many of the things, like the way we found out that these guys were defined by the partially minors of the partially symmetric matrix, was very much a Macaulay too. Oh my gosh, those things look like minors. They're minors of that. And then there was a literature search, et cetera. So Macaulay too was with us from the very beginning, and it really did play an important role in this, and it was a lot of fun. So thank you very much.